Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right. I promise you we'll continue all those political conversations tomorrow. That line didn't hold very nicely, but I promise you tomorrow we continue on that vein. Thabisa Ntombazana is here for a quick legal break. She's in studio with us. Good evening and welcome, Thabisa.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
You want to speak about sick notes today?
Yes. So a very interesting case was decided quite recently, actually, in the Labor Appeal Court. So as we all know, you're entitled to your sick leave, and there's a certain number of days that you're entitled to according to the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And if you're going to be sick for two consecutive days, you ought to produce a sick note that says that you will not be here for X amount of days, right? So that is the basis of everything that we know pertaining to sick leave. In around 2000 and I think it was 18, there was a decided case wherein, in that particular case, sick notes were deemed to be hearsay evidence until an affidavit from the doctor or the doctor himself comes to bring evidence if the employee is suspected to have either bought a sick note or it was fraudulent
an affidavit by the doctor?
Correct. To confirm that, yes, this is my sick note, and yes, I am a member of the, is it HP?
Medical,
yes, that body. Yeah. And all of those things that I did give Ntabi Singh a sick note, and that I booked her off on this and that date and all of that. And then only then can it be admissible as evidence. That only if it's a dispute, of course, about the sick note.
The sick note.
So that's,
So that's changed.
No, that one still remains the same.
Okay.
That hasn't changed.
So your employer, if there's any doubt about the authenticity of the sick note, can still insist that the doctor comes with an affidavit to confirm that this is an authentic sick note.
Correct. So usually that would happen either during the internal disciplinary hearing or disciplinary inquiry.
Okay.
And if they still don't believe it, then they have a choice whether or not to dismiss you. And then you as the employee can then take it to the CCMA, which is what this particular case ended up doing. Even though there was no real there was a dispute about whether or not the practice of this doctor is legitimate.
The dispute is whether this particular doctor had authority to give the sick note.
Correct.
How do they come to that conclusion?
In the case itself, it seems that some weeks before this particular employee, this was in 2018, I think, before this particular employee brought this sick note. They received an email for everybody who was in that particular mall to say, don't trust, I think it was Dr. Frem Mogg's surgery.
Yes.
Because we don't believe that he's a proper doctor.
So this was an email from who?
I think it was from the people that own the mall. What are they called?
Oh, I see. Okay, the property, the property people.
They're saying, no, we don't believe that Framework's practice is a proper practice. And
the practice is in the same complex.
Correct. So they're like, no, don't trust this. Don't trust us at all. And then after the email was sent
Sorry. I think it's important because the question is it an email that got to everybody in the firm?
Yes.
So let's say Nane, in this Kaya house, we have other tenants. We have ourselves, and then we happen to have a doctor in the building.
Mm-hmm.
An email gets to be circulated. And usually what happens maybe when we're here, if one of us is sick, we are now used to this doctor.
Yes.
Ne? And we get an email circulated by the group that owns the building saying, don't trust Dr. X. We're not sure about Dr. X's authenticity.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
And then what if I didn't see the email?
Well, you didn't see the email.
Okay.
It's neither here nor there right now.
Okay.
Right? So
I get sick.
You get sick.
I go to the doctor. I get my sick note. And then you guys say, there was an email that said Dr. X in the building. We're not sure about Dr.
X. Yes. So now the powers that be within the Kaya building or the Kaya FM seniors decide, no man, let's investigate Dr. X and see what is happening there, because we really don't trust his practice. And if we don't trust his practice, it means that the sick note is not true or valid. And if that's the case, it means that she is abusing sick leave. And if she's abusing sick leave, it means she's going against our code of conduct as the employer. So they go in, two of the employees go into this doctor's practice. Mm-hmm. So when they get there, they observe that it's not clean. It looks suspicious. There's gym equipment lying everywhere. And the doctor's signs or pictures on the wall are torn. When one of them went in for a consult, the room was too cramped. It was separated by a very thin wall. You know, all these things are things that they used as evidence to say that
Dr. X is not authentic.
Yes. But they also went on to go and check if Dr. X is registered.
Yes, that I would say would be the right
which
way.
Which he was.
This is the thing. This is exactly for me the point. That who's to say that what if I don't like you, the look of your practice, you are not an authentic doctor. How rude.
You and the judge on the same
how WhatsApp. Rude. How rude.
Yes.
It's not for them to judge.
Correct.
It's not their place to decide whether I could be going ko pekrumu. It's yes. My business.
Yes. Correct.
How rude.
Correct. So the judge in the labor, because the employer, after all of this, they obviously did an internal disciplinary hearing. She was found guilty and dismissed.
Guilty of what? Of going to a doctor that they don't like.
Of misconduct and abusing sick leave.
Aye, guys. Mm-mm. They've overstepped the mark.
Very much so. Mm. Very much so. Mm. And then she referred the matter to the CCMA for unfair dismissal.
Good on her.
And then the commissioner was on her side.
Absolutely.
And then they then took it for review to the labor court. And then the review was dismissed, basically saying that, no, the commissioner was right. Leave us alone.
They've done their job.
And then they then went to the labor appeal court, which is now the highest court in terms of labor
matters.
That
is the highest level of bullying I've ever seen.
Correct.
An entitlement.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they still lost. So I wouldn't be surprised if this matter goes to the Constitutional Court for
whatever
reason.
Why don't we just sue their pants off, actually? Because what a waste of time.
And money, because it's legal expenses for this poor lady as well.
Slobbery of the highest degree.
Correct.
Because they don't like the person and what the practice looks like.
Yes.
And I must decide, based on what they like, where I must go.
And that's what the court said.
Icon.
The court said,
no.
You cannot, because the court actually quoted their heads of argument,
yes.
Like the opening paragraph of the
How
heads
rude.
Of argument, saying that the evidence of Ntabiseng and Pemelo, who
yes.
went to go look at
like,
the
honestly,
establishment, albeit being hearsay
but
evidence, you are putting it in your heads of argument that it's hearsay evidence.
Wow.
But you want this court to accept your evidence.
You're going to prejudice an entire doctor based on some people and what they think looks pretty or not.
The doctor even came to give evidence at the arbitration. And it was confirmed that he is registered. He even gave his practice number. He even gave his admission and everything to prove he is a proper doctor. And still, they are here before the Labour Appeal Court to say, no, still.
Because it must be Instagram ready.
Yes. And then the doctor said, so are you saying then, is it okay if you are not registered with a legal body? But
and
if
I
your
looks,
practice
it looks like
clean,
Instagram. Mm, it looks pretty.
And you can sell drugs out of it. You can do illegal stuff out of it,
but
as
it
long as it's
look,
clean.
It must just look beautiful.
Is that what you're saying? And then, obviously, it's a rhetorical question during the as they're giving judgment. But the end of it is that employers must not believe that the be all end all in terms of what labor relations
but
is.
But here's the problem. Here they keep going on and
yes,
appealing.
Yes.
Where does this leave the employee?
At this stage, we
the
hope
case is not getting concluded.
Correct.
They are not paying her out. They are not concluding her pension stories because they're busy appealing.
Yeah. Yeah, the plan is to out-litigate her so she's tired.
And she's, yes, you exhaust her.
And financially not being able to keep
up
with the matters.
What rubbish.
It was quite interesting to see how it ended up. And it was a lady that worked at Woolworths. You know, she was not obviously not making that kind of money.
Basil.
And then here she, we are at the Labour Appeal Court, and she won. So now it is, she won from arbitration all the way up to here. So now it is a matter of waiting to see if they choose to take this matter to the Constitutional Court. I don't see what grounds
can
they would
you
have.
Imagine.
But
can
it would
you
never stop
imagine?
Them. Yeah.
She pays for her own consultation. Mm-hmm. This is on her money, her own judgment, and someone decides where you went, I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, aye, guys.
Mm-mm. And the judge went further.
Like, how about you take yourself to where you want to go and allow me the freedom to go where I want to go?
Exactly what the judge said. And the judge also added and said that if you as the employer have any suspicion about a certain doctor, do your due diligence. And then if you're still not satisfied, then you have the onus to inform your employees that you will not accept a doctor's note coming from Dr. X. It is not upon the employee to go do investigations to check out if Dr. X is good or not, or he's registered or whatever. It is your job as the employer, if you want that kind of standard, put it in your paperwork.
And also, if you are so invested, you can go through the right channels to report the doctor.
Correct.
At the relevant medical practitioners' authorities, and do the right thing instead of targeting an employee who just went to get herself. Ooh, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And if you remember,
bullying tactics of note.
Some time back we talked about how a code of conduct in the workplace has to be in there, and every employee needs to know what Kaya FM's code of conduct is, right? You need to know what it is that you can do, and what the sanctions of it are, and all of that. So they were trying to use their code of conduct and use misconduct and abusing sick leave to not accept this this doctor's sick note.
So as far as I remember, constitutionally, you can also submit a doctor's note from a healer.
Yes.
Ne? You
yes,
can.
You can. You can. 100%.
You can decide. Well, not decide, but you can go where petting, for instance. I don't. And that's long. Mm. Like, that's a
that's
long period
long.
Of time. But get a note that says, from a registered healer, mm-hmm. that says, this particular person X is actually undergoing practice, this practice, and maybe state how long
Correct.
The practice will be
Correct.
Or will explain what it is that will change in how this person comes to work
Correct.
Or does their fulfills their things. Ne?
You are very correct.
So now this employer will want to go now assess traditional healers.
At the rate that they are going, that's what they want to do.
Icon. So the employer will now want to go decide, yeah, that wherever you're going, whether it's good enough for them or not.
Hey, whether it's hygienic enough, whether it's clean enough, whether it's traditional enough.
No, I mean,
enough.
At this rate, they will want to assess whether the healer is of their standard.
Yes.
Yay. Hi, guys. I refuse. Huh?
Yeah.
Because they have the authority to make a decision on your own well-being about where you must go.
Yeah.
And if they don't like it, we somehow are going to decide. I mean, at this rate, they are going to decide, no, in fact, we don't want a note from a healer. In fact, no, we don't approve that you must actually willow to us.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Because it's, according to them, it's not good enough. But the law doesn't, the law protects people.
Correct.
Like that.
It does. It certainly does. There's a lot of employees who've been given that opportunity, been gone for 3 months.
Yes.
In order to finish.
To, yes.
To pass out. And then come back because you do not have that right
yes.
to dismiss them.
You, yes.
It is protected
right.
under the Employment
Correct.
Equity Act.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
So, Ntabi Singh, where would it fall under? Would it be leave, or would it be, how would you then register that? Let's say willow twasa, or you decide to go to, let's say you go to Mecca, or something like that, maybe a religiously aligned leave.
Mm.
How would you register that?
So, that would be within the internal politics of the employer-employee relationship.
Mm-hmm.
However, it won't be under sick leave because you're not necessarily sick
per se.
Mm. So it will be a situation how you discuss how your annual leave and your unpaid leave would work in that instance, so that you do not fall within the situation where you end up coming back and there's no work for you.
But this is just that's the reason I asked.
Yeah.
Because if in the very first place there will be no recognition because they do not want it or accept it or are willing to even give you that space, what's your recourse as somebody who, you know, who wants to navigate what your rights are and what the employer deems to be right or not right?
Well, firstly, the employer cannot deny you that. As an employer, that's one thing you should go into that meeting or discussion knowing. They cannot deny you that. It is a situation wherein we discuss. You have X amount leave days.
Yes.
And then we can compensate the other time with unpaid leave.
Unpaid leave, yes.
And then let's see how far we can do with that. Mm. And we take it from there. That's usually the agreement that is reached between the employer and the employee in that particular circumstance. Mm. And then they're able to go through the entire process. And then when they are done, they come back into employment knowing that they have exhausted their leave days. Mm. And therefore, they're not entitled to get leave days, and that's reaccumulating them, so on and so forth, until they're back to normal again.
Let's go to Ntate Selby. Ntate Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamelo.
Hello, Ntate Selby.
And Tavising.
Ntate Selby, how are you?
How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. I know I would like to have Tavising.
Hey, Ntate Selby.
Okay, but I want to know about Mara, why did the employer has the influence about to cut the sick note? Hey, sometimes the doctor gets something to take. Yeah, Mara, bana bona ba kula because sick note le ko sangomeng ke a ithola. Then ba kena ko sangomeng ba thola go lekeletse ntwana. Matlalo a dinoga ba tlo re no a seke right before
exactly
ke yona ntho e court ne e wona against rabaneng. You cannot take that kind of stance as an employer, rabaneng. This doctor will satisfy or not. And if you're going to do that, you need to make sure, Hori, you do it in accordance with the law. You don't just come and say, ki legal inspector, and therefore I'm not happy.
I just born at the Abasola.
Yeah.
Only doctor, when he left for 3 months, sick note. Kandi Motona had to move for 3 months. I should the doctor need to run and get to you.
He then.
And the doctor, we take the chile from the casino.
I want a doctor and a weekend to match a thing in this situation. Did?
Yeah, because kita se we take the chile and kita se bam chowing.
Yeah.
Then never tell me how fella because nothing you are doctor could expect or Rexa the sick note. The company can fella and it tabi. Hello, if it's a go court yare Mutona, is it a prophet or a sangoma or not one to profit or mutu lots are got one sick note.
No, that was a cool defense.
Thank you, Dr. Selby. Sharp. Thanks, Dr. Selby. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Ntabi saying, call in 086-000-00959. All your legal questions. It really doesn't matter what the legal matter is. Ntabi saying to Bazana will be here to help.
This is a question for Pimelo and Ntabi Seng. I just want to find out quickly. Oh, by the way, my name is Sisa. I just want to find out quickly. A doctor's appointment, like, for instance, you go to a doctor and then they tell you that come on a certain day, maybe after a week or two, on a particular date, for whatever you might be have gone to gone for. Does that qualify as sick leave, or do you have to take leave for that appointment?
Tabise?
So that would, you would have
Thanks, Sisa. Thank you.
We would have to make it a normal leave day because you don't know whether or not you're going to be booked off. I'm assuming it would be stemming from a previous sick note that says you must come back on after 2 weeks to check on X, Y, and Z. So that is not particularly a sick note unless it is within the original sick note that you have. Then your employer can take that as a sick day because it was already in the original sick note. But other than that, it's a discussion wherein your employer can either take that day as annual leave or sick leave, depending what the document said.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, it depends on what it says.
Yes.
The content
of the sick note.
Do you have to declare that? Does the employer have the right to insist on knowing what is wrong? In other words,
no.
If I have an ailment, ne, that persists, maybe we're not at a stage where we have declared it chronic, but it persists. In other words, it keeps coming back.
Mm.
Do we have to have the doctor have a clear diagnosis, or how does the employer assess that if they feel no man, if it's a sick leave, you yourself don't maybe have a diagnosis, or maybe you do? Do you have to declare what the diagnosis is?
No, you don't have to do anything of the sort. But what can be done is that if the illness keeps coming and coming,
it's recurring,
the employer has to now sit down with you and say, listen, should we consider putting you on medical
boarding?
Yes, yeah. Should we medically board you at this stage, or what needs to be done? And then perhaps you can request your doctor to do a report as to what it is that they believe is happening and what could possibly causing what is happening, so they can have a look at it and have a discussion with you. I say this because I actually went through something like that a few years ago when I was still an employee, and it ended up in a situation whereby I had to get a report and inform my employer that this is the situation that is happening. I am willingly giving you this information so that you can make an informed decision whether or not we should start a medical boarding situation. Thankfully, it passed and all of that. But that is, it is not a must on you as the employee to disclose what your ailment is. But the employer has the right to have that discussion with you to see whether or not they should start medical boarding.
I have more questions on this, but does everybody know George Manyosi? Or does
I think so. Maybe.
I mean, do we need to introduce him? George Manyosi?
Yeah, I got legal issues. Yeah.
How are you, George?
Super, how are you guys?
Good, good. Welcome. It's so nice to have you early.
Yeah, why not? Thank you.
Don't leave. Stay.
I had the invite, so I thought, we're not going to do a question. Right?
Talk to us.
Yeah, so I thought, no, it's about time. Couple of them. Firstly, prescribed debt.
Yeah.
Where does it not apply?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, prescribed debt, let me explain how prescription works. Prescription means that if a debt happened 3 years ago and there was no interruption of that 3 year period, then it has prescribed. And by interruption, what I mean is you did not receive a random SMS which interrupts prescription, or you didn't receive an email from the financial institution which interrupts prescription, or you did not receive a letter of demand which interrupts prescription. Ne?
Even if you don't respond to those.
Even if you don't respond to those, it interrupts prescription. So the second you get that communication, if Nusofi delay a year and a half without you getting anything, it starts from scratch. Now you're back to zero and the 3 years starting all over again. Right. So that's if prescription is interrupted. But if prescription is not interrupted, the original debt prescribes. So the financial institution can't come after you for that debt, but the debt has interest. They can come after you for the interest. The interest does not prescribe. That's why you will consistently get phone calls from the same financial institutions. Maybe the attorneys that they would have appointed to go after the debt, they are chasing the interest that is there, not the original debt.
So they'll need to then prove for it's not the principal debt.
Correct.
It is.
It's the interest there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Second question.
And they sometimes sell that on.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Hmm. Right, second question. The bank institution, say you have a debt with them, then defaults and whatever judgments, then they hand over. But then you settle it with whoever's collecting. And then
they come back.
No, another one, a different
one. It's the ones that they bought the debt, because the debt can be sold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is that if Bank X that you have a loan with now has a default judgment against you, when you are settling it, you, before you do that, make sure that the debt, ask them for paperwork to confirm that the debt that you are paying for is it in its entirety, not just a settlement letter, because there's now legal paperwork that follows this particular debt. So you need confirmation that there is no other debt apart from this one that will be coming, so that you know that once you pay the settlement, it's done and dusted. Because now if they come with another debt that is related to this one, you can challenge it and say, per the settlement agreement that was signed, I do not owe you anything, because the money that I paid you under case number X, Y, and Z relates to this debt that you are now talking about.
Right.
And then you don't have an obligation to pay that particular debt.
Funny thing, in my case, now, because there are these two institutions who are acting on behalf of the bank, and I have a settlement letter from for the one, then I'm saying, okay, but you,
who are you?
Yeah, because I have a settlement letter. And then I said, give me the bank's details, whatever, so I can go back to the original. The original, they check.
We're not interested.
The
They're not long on the system. Because they sold you off.
But do they sell to one or a different individual?
To anybody.
Because unfortunately, the bank.
They split it.
The bank has a panel of attorneys.
Yeah.
A huge panel of attorneys. Right. So today, your matter was handled by Tabisei, and then handed it over to my Judge Manyosi attorneys.
Got you.
Yeah, but and then the next day, Pemelo is now handling your matter, because I hear they keep calling you.
Right.
And then Pemelo is like, and it hasn't registered that Judge Manyosi attorneys has this matter. And then Pemelo now gives it to Dubazana attorneys. So now we are both holding the same mandate for the same matter.
Yeah.
But none of us, because attorneys, unfortunately, we work for the money, and instruction are instruction. And then we're going to follow you, Bali, too. So now, what they are claiming more than anything else, it's not the debt, it's their legal fees. Because
it's a time spent on the matter.
Were not aware that Dubazana now has it.
Yeah.
And now Dubazana has been paid their fees along with the debt and the interest. Now it's Judge Magnus who's left.
Surely they need to then declare her these are legal fees.
They should.
It's not that debt.
They should.
Yeah.
And even if that is legal fees, that is not your problem, because the legal fees attached to that particular matter, according to the settlement agreement, have been paid.
Right.
So who are you?
Why do I pay double?
Why do I pay double the legal fees?
Last question quickly.
Yes.
Can I indulge? Last one.
Yeah.
You have an agreement, an arrangement to pay and arrears. This is levy related.
Yes.
Yeah. But then the same attorneys still go on and do summons. But they already accepted the arrangement. So practically they're ignoring the arrangement.
Why are they trying to make legal fees for no reason?
Exactly. When the arrangement is already there and the payment has already started, say, a good 3 months into this arranged and agreed upon payment over and above the normal levies.
Is the arrangement in writing?
Yes.
That makes no sense.
Yes.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, they went back to the body corporate, and the body corporate said, yeah, we accept. And they come back, they said, okay, your proposal has been accepted. And I've been paying for a good 3 months. And then suddenly,
the sheriff, receive a summons.
Yeah, and the summons are now.
And they're dated now.
Yeah.
Not anything that came from
before.
Back then.
No.
That makes no sense. Yeah. So what you would need to do is make contact with the attorneys who are signed there and say, but per this email, this is the agreement.
Yeah.
Explain to me why a summons has been issued, because you're going to add these to my fees.
Correct.
At the
it's
end
an extra 11,000 rand.
Exactly. Yeah. And they must explain to you why. And as a result, you must make sure in that email that you're going to send that you are not going to be paying the legal fees, because the agreement came prior to the summons being issued.
And they themselves said, yeah.
Correct. And they confirmed their client is amenable to you entering into this agreement.
Yeah.
But one thing I can tell you about attorneys that handle the levies, Basile, Hampi, and the aim, the body corporate, most of the time is to push that particular person out, because the aim is to get a default judgment against your name.
Right.
And if you can't pay the levies and the things, then they attach your property, have it auctioned to pay that, to kick you out of there.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I have been dealing with a lot in the in the firm pertaining to properties like such as yourself, property owners,
sure,
yourself.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the best way that they respond, which is unnecessary as well, is if you have another attorney on the other side, because now they see they are bound. If it's attorney on attorney, but if it's you, they take advantage of the fact that you are not learned much in the
or
law
represented.
Or represented, and therefore they'll take advantage of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'll see you in your office tomorrow morning.
We'll be waiting.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's take two more voice notes coming through.
Hey, good evening, Pamela. This is overboard, like an affidavit from the doctor. And then when is the doctor going to have time for affidavit to go to the police station and back up the sick note while other patients are waiting for his practice? Like, seriously, I can't. An affidavit to back up my sick note? No.
So a quick one. So I've got a contract that I've recently taken up, and now in the contract I'm a transport driver for this company, and now in the contract it mentions that they do not take any responsibility while I'm transporting the staff guys to their homes during the night. So they don't take any responsibility should anything occur. How do I go about addressing that? Because I feel that that's unfair of them to say such.
No, I fully agree with you. It is part of your duties.
Yeah.
So therefore, they are bound, whether they like it or not, through vicarious liability. You're not doing this transporting of your of your colleagues by virtue of your good heart. It is within your work contract. Take it back to them and amend that particular clause. And if they want that to remain, then they must say that you cannot transport your colleagues at night. Then your responsibilities are between 8 and 4. So that you know what it is that you're dealing with, because I can almost guarantee you, should anything happen, they're going to dismiss
their hands.
You. They're going to dismiss you.
So I want to go back to the medical thing, because there are conditions that do not necessarily need you to be boarded medically, but are recurring.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to use the word chronic, but recur.
Yes.
And this discussion about, for instance, people who are completely, completely debilitated by particular kinds of premenstrual or menstrual cycles.
Yes.
They exist.
Mm.
That is recognized as a medical
issue.
It doesn't mean the person is sick. It just means that this is a condition that renders them unable to function for 2-3 days in a month, but it happens every single month. What would that be? Because you don't need to be boarded. You can function. Maybe you can function from home, but it is recurring.
You hit the nail on the head by saying you can work from home. So before the employer can look at, let me medically board you, they need to explore all other avenues that are available to them to try and accommodate you with the situation that you have. I had a client years ago. She had asthma. It wasn't the kind of asthma that makes you like can't breathe in any situation. However, the employer was doing renovations and she was placed in a situation where she was breathing in dust and therefore she was off sick every 2 weeks because of bronchitis and affecting her asthma. They wanted to medically board her. And then our argument was, no, we've already had this asthma for X amount of years, which you've known about, but your renovations are the ones that are affecting me and they're taking longer than they're supposed to. And now as a result, I am getting sick. Remove me from this particular place. Put me somewhere else where I can continue doing the same job or a similar job with the same pay. So this is what the employer has to look for before making medical boarding or dismissing. There's so many other avenues that the employer can look at. And after COVID, we've had such a huge influx of work from home.
Like, honestly, I can't work with this carpet. I just cannot. This carpet, it's just like, I just can't. They need to either just change the carpet or they just need to... I just need to work from home.
I'll choose not to comment to that.
Can they just... I mean, since coming back from COVID, like, I can't. I cannot work with the carpet. The carpet. My sinuses.
They're on fire.
I cannot work with this carpet. And they refuse to clean this carpet. And I just can't. Can't work the carpet. Can I use that?
No.
Oh, Dundee. Uh-uh. Why are you my legal representative? Uh-uh. I can't work with this carpet. Can't work with the carpet.
Uh-uh.
Like, honestly. And I can't use that.
Uh-uh.
I can't be saying thank you.
Only thank my you. Pleasure.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Next week.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.